This is only a game. It's the University of Michigan Marching Band here to welcome two Wolverine alums who also happen to be our guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know, John Neo of the Detroit News and Rachel Bachman of the Wall Street Journal. John and Rachel, welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Bill.
I didn't know this segment was going to double as a college reunion. It's a first. It's kind of fun. I hope you enjoy reuniting. All right, John, I guess it's only appropriate that we have a story this week concerning Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh. Are you ready with that?
Summer's right around the corner, and I guess there's a new game for the family to play on vacation. That's Where in the World is Jim Harbaugh? He's, you know, you get your bingo cards and destinations for all the satellite camps, Alabama, Australia, American Samoa, and you're all set. No, I mean, last summer, you know, it was his first year back at his alma mater. He took his staff on a sort of barnstorming tour and across the country and doubled as a recruiting tool these camps for high school kids that they put on. But they dared to do it in the South, which riled the men who coached down there. And so they complained and got the cabal of conference commissioners to get the practice banned here in early April. And then the uproar from everyone else, because, I mean, these camps do serve a purpose for families searching for college scholarships, got the ban overturned a few weeks later. And now Harbaugh's gone all Phileas Fogg on everyone with a I think it's up to 30-some stops now, 16 states, including Hawaii and Australia and Samoa. And so I guess the question for you, Rachel and Bill, is there a problem here? Is this just another sort of tax-exempt sitcom?
I'm really for an era of permissiveness, really. I think the MCA rulebook is way too big. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Michigan grad. I do, however, think that Jim Harbaugh is just fantastic theater. He is probably the second best reality show going we have in this country right now. The issue is the contrast between what coaches are allowed to do, what players are allowed to do, and a lot of players are increasingly pushing back at the limits to what they can earn, and that's only going to get worse as coaches and conference commissioners get paid more and more. So I think those guys, the leaders, need to be careful about what they ban and how strict they are with players.
What's occurring to me is that there is no longer any distinction at all between pro football as it's practiced in the NFL and pro football as it's played at places like Michigan.
There is one difference, and Rachel just hit on it. The players are not getting paid.
We're looking forward to that changing, right? I mean, the door is open crack at least on that.
The pressure is mounting, and in Michigan spent 200-some thousand on their summer swarm tour, as they called it last summer. Mm-hmm. That money is there, and the players are not seeing it. The coaches and everyone else are.
Absolutely. Rachel, I understand you have something to say about pesky millennials.
I do. This might not be popular with some of our listeners, but news breaking last week, the American running boom is over. The number of race finishers in the U.S. declined 9%, which halted about a two-decade, seems like, inevitable rise of runners. And the reason is millennials. The millennials were the biggest reduction in those race finishers. And the jury's sort of out on why this happened. One theory is that there are more and more other things to do to keep yourself in shape, anything from CrossFit to yoga. Another theory floated is that millennials just simply are not as competitive as older generations and didn't really like entering races. Mm. So let the debate ensue.
I wonder if maybe some millennials are getting old enough so that their knees hurt.
That could be. Some people have cited the movement away from long distance because they say that's stupid. You're gonna ruin your joints, and we're doing smarter things with our bodies.
This whole idea of at least the possibility of millennials being less competitive for whatever combination of reasons that might be, what does that mean for sports going forward?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we ran a story that showed that there are many fewer millennial entrepreneurs. And the reason cited was that millennials are more risk-averse.
I wonder, too, and I don't necessarily subscribe to this, but all the talk of the participation trophies and that sort of, you know, everybody gets a ribbon for participating. I wonder if that has seeped through even into the competitive spirit of a generation. I don't know. I doubt it. But I'm sure that's an argument some people would make.
Certainly a lot of our readers chimed in with to that effect that, you know, this is the problem with giving everyone a trophy. Everyone thinks they've won.
Nobody knows who's going to be president of Brazil this summer, but Rio is going to host the Olympic Games anyway, maybe. maybe the International Olympic Committee is going to take seriously the warning published this week in the Harvard Public Health Review, which says if they have the Olympics, it will accelerate at least somewhat the spread of the Zika virus throughout the world. Russia, meanwhile, another story coming up about doping, a systematic state-run doping program in Russia. Kenya apparently is okay. They're going to let the Kenyans participate in the Olympics in Rio, though there was considerable dismay about their failure to have a decent, reasonable doping program. The bribery and the doping stories feel to me like business as usual. They're sad, but the Zika thing, more dire, I think. Is it time to call Rio and say, hey, look, sorry, this isn't going to work out. We're going to start a new precedent. We're going to spread the Olympic events around, say, half a dozen countries. Nobody goes broke. Everybody gets a chance to be on TV. And that's the way we'll do it from here on in. What do you think?
The biggest pushback you might get from this, surprisingly, might be NBC, which surely has invested tons of time and money in the heavy production value they surely will put into these games. I think that the split would be really untenable, especially at this late time. I think we're only 3 months out. But I'm not sure what else you do. I think this underscores the need from the IOC for a contingency plan.
You know, the worry about the disease spreading from all the visitors coming, I think that will be solved by not very many visitors coming. And we saw this before in Athens and Beijing with, you know, a variety of reasons. Athens, where there was terror fears. That was the first real summer games after 9/11. And in China with all the pollution and human rights issues. So I would guess we're going to have a lot of half-empty venues in Rio, which doesn't do much for their economy that's already in a recession.
I mean, I know that before every Olympic Games, there are dire predictions about how the venues aren't ready and the country isn't really as economically strong as it was years before when they made the bid, and all the rest of that stuff always happens. This just seems to me as if the negatives are stronger, more powerful, more daunting than normal. Am I wrong? Am I being pessimist?
No, absolutely not. And they're getting worse rather than sort of fading as the games approach. I mean, the coup d'etat of sorts that has just taken place there, that's not going to be over by August. I mean, they've got, I think, 180 days to make a decision here. But, you know, that's going to be still an ongoing political issue.
Well, I wish as the Olympics approach that we'd been able to conclude this discussion on a happier note. But we don't really seem to be able to do that right now.
The weather's nice here.
Yeah, the weather's very nice in Boston this week as well. But the citizens of Boston said, no, we don't wish to have the Olympics. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that gets to the point. I mean, you talk about moving. Who wants them? Who would take them at this point, frankly?
My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been John Neo of the Detroit News and Rachel Bachman of the Wall Street Journal. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Bill.
And Rachel, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for making us feel welcome.
And I think I'm supposed to say go blue now, right? I got that right?
That is right.
That's how you say it.
Go blue.